Welcome back. Reserve Bank Governor Lesetša Ganyago announced the first interest rate cut in over a year today, a unanimous decision to cut by 25 basis points. A panel of experts joined me in studio to unpack the thinking that may have gone into that decision. Tertia Jacobs, Treasury Economist at Investec, Tsitsi Hatendi-Matika, who's Head of Retail Investment Specialists at ABSA, and Mkile Mondi, Senior Lecturer at the Wits School of Economics and Business Science. I started off by asking Tertia what she made of the overall tone of the governor's address and whether it's triggered any deeper read-throughs on her end. Here's that conversation.
What we were looking at was this 25 basis point was expected, except as you said with a however. So we were looking to the extent that there could be more than 25 basis points cut. So for me, the way that I interpreted, you know, the statement as well as the Q&A was that it was fairly neutral. They brought the rate cut as predicted in the QPM forward. But I think in terms of the inflation outlook and the international dynamics, it's neutral.
Neutral and a unanimous decision. Tsitsi, you know, 50 basis points not even deliberated, the governor says, at the meeting. But I came across a PwC report highlighting that South Africa's repo rate is estimated to be about 100 basis points too high, and that according to a Taylor Rule calculation. It's a calculation used to, you know, look at what the correct level should be in account of inflation and growth. And this 100 basis points projection based on inflation of 4.5%, growth of 0.7%, and potential economic growth, which the governor spent a lot of time talking about, of 2%. Do you think the SARB can afford to be bolder?
I don't think so. So if you speak to many people, it depends on the school of thought. A lot of people will say 200 basis points. Some people will say no cuts at all. So it depends which side you lie. But as they said, it's all about structural issues. So no matter how much they cut, as long as the fiscus doesn't meet them halfway, there's no point.
Do you think then, having said that, Lumkile, enough emphasis was placed on the fact that some stabilization or a convincing enough turnaround plan for government finances needs to be seen before any more aggressive a stance can be adopted?
Absolutely. In fact, Governor, Deputy Governor Naidu put it very, very clearly that, you know, until the public sector show its hand about how it's going to be moving forward in terms of refinancing the SOEs, and there's a broader picture about whether we're building capital stock or just replenishing existing debt, which does not add to the capacity of the South African economy, which could improve our potential growth. Therefore, those factors become quite critical.
Especially if you're looking at a fiscal position that has weakened over time, Tertia, what do you see that doing for inflation? Because this has implications for inflation, and that's looking to be pretty stable for now while it continues to moderate ever so slightly. And are we being realistic as far as those inflation projections and growth projections are concerned?
You know, the way that I see it is that, you know, bailing out the public sector with the various SOEs are very costly because it plays out in tax increases and high electricity costs and water costs, as we discussed earlier on. So that actually has a direct impact on consumer spending. So in a way, that reduces your non-discretionary spending, and that's one of the reasons why consumption spending is under pressure. Because, you know, we have seen a nominal wage increases moderating. But on the other hand, it's also caused by an increase in taxes, which reduces consumption spending. So yes, inflation again at 4.5 is a combination of very high utility costs versus very low core inflation. And I think the way that that's playing out, so I'm just adding a bit here, is obviously weak earnings growth in the corporate sector. So that's the dynamic.
And that's something that cropped up as well because, you know, what's been highlighted is that with that lending happening where you're looking at high corporate debt levels, sovereign debt levels as well, the policy space to respond to shocks becomes critical. How are you rating the SARB's muscle at this stage of the game?
So that point is very important. The fact that should anything go wrong, we actually do not have much room. And it's also important to note that the SARB is now at 0.6% in terms of their expectation of growth this year. And one starts to question where National Treasury will be in the medium-term budget speech. Yeah. And that changes everything, right? It changes all the ratios and all the numbers. So I think it's very important, and it's something for corporates and individuals to keep in mind that we need some ammunition should something go wrong globally.
Absolutely. Within that overall context, Lumkile, Rand implications if we do start seeing aggressive cuts come through?
Well, the Rand will always be a function of what's happening globally. As we discussed earlier, that the American developments are quite critical for the Rand, because I'm not seeing a huge influx of capital in South Africa buying our instrument, our securities, in an environment of policy uncertainty. So in that regard, I think it will always be driven by dollar weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So if the dollar continues, the rand should really improve. That is why we need really to get to October as fast as possible, so that we can get to understand the extent of the hole in the public finances and how the state plans in the next 3 years to address them in terms of the budget deficit, in terms of how much to be pouring in different SOEs going forward, and what measures are being put to consolidate physically, but more important also to send those positive signals for private sector to complement what government is doing.
Do you share that perspective that you've got a risk tolerance that is capped, Tertia, right now? Because so far the rand's benefited disproportionately from emerging market risk. Real 10-year yields based on core inflation are at 5%. That's the highest since 2011, and certainly sitting above our emerging market peers.
Absolutely, and I think that also speaks to DG Pillay's answer in terms of, you know, how does the public sector borrowing requirement impact growth? Because the steep yield curve means it's fairly expensive for government to raise debt. At the same time, if corporates come to the market, it's, you know, in nominal terms, it is fairly expensive. So, yes, and, you know, someone's got to fund it. So we need some guidance and clarity. And I think the big one that we're monitoring, probably where we will get some direction from next week, is with regards to Eskom.
Yeah, well, we've got a whole lot of instability in many quarters, stability coming through in one form. We've had, of course, President Cyril Ramaphosa reaffirm his authority over the South African Reserve Bank by reappointing current governor, Lesetshe Kganyako, for the next 5 years. It's seen as a bid to stem some of the noises around independence of the bank moving forward. Has that quelled concern completely in your books?
So I think he does give people a sense of comfort, and also goes into lecturing mode when people start saying the wrong things. So he's always very firm and has the same stance each and every time. So that consistency is needed, not only locally but globally. When our peers or investors are listening to us, they hear the same message, and that message is always solid. So I think we need to get the same message coming from the fiscal space also.
Yeah. In terms of outlook, very quickly, Lumkile, Bank of America Merrill Lynch researchers penciling in 25 basis cuts now and then two cuts in September and January. Is that scope now completely off the table?
Not at all. As the governor is clear, he's left the door open. So in September, we'll get a signal, and I'm sure the signal will be positive to another cut coming.
Thank you all for having joined me in studio this evening. That, of course, Tertia Jacobs, who's Treasury Economist at Investec, Tsitsi Hatendi Matika, Head of Retail Investment Specialists at APSA, and Lumkile Mwandi, who's Senior Lecturer at the Wits School of Economics and Business Science.